a broke single mom who'd been fired from Denny's go on to become America's most sought-after real estate investor. Hold on to your seats as you are about to go on a wild ride that results in you being a superstar. Dwan Van Twyberg, a.k.a. Dwanderful, is about to blow your mind. The most wonderful real estate podcast ever promises to be your go-to podcast for everything that life has to offer. You are entering the Dwanderful Zone. Everybody, welcome to the most wonderful real estate podcast ever. And I am so excited to have my guests on today. I interviewed these handsome young men a couple of years ago, and I have been following. I mean, I swear I'm like a secret stalker. I follow everything they do, watch all their videos, I watch them on YouTube, and I wanted to bring them back and so we could just talk a little bit more about the Donis Brothers. So if you're new to my podcast, my name is Dwan Van Twyberg. I'm America's most sought-after real estate investor, and our motto at Dwanderful is people before profits. So if that's something that resonates with you, then I'm your girl. You're going to love these guys. Also, you can go to Dwanderful, D-W-A-N-D-E-R-F-U-L, dwanderful.com, opt in. I have a free ebook, Flip Your Way to a Fortune. And I have a couple other free things. So head over to dwanderful.com, opt in. Also subscribe to the podcast. I bring you awesome guests. We're doing 8 podcasts a month now. So a lot of good information. Okay, so I have the Donis Brothers. And today we have Kenneth and Jeffrey. And there is another one, Kermit. He is not with us today, but that's okay because I got the best two today.
Yes, you did. Yeah. Dawn, his name's Kerwin.
Kerwin, oh my God. Did I just say Kermit?
Yeah, that's good. That's what we should call him. That's what I call him.
Oh my God. Okay, don't let him see this.
He'll know. It's okay.
It is Kerwin. I know that. I don't know why. I think I just wrote down K-E-R.
It's funny because you can just flip over the W and it becomes Kermit. Or close, like Kermin. But...
Okay, don't tell him I said that. I know all your names. Okay, so we have Kenneth on the left, we have Jeffrey next to him, then you have me, and we have Kerwin, the Donis Brothers. So I met you guys a couple years ago. I interviewed you, like, I don't know, was it 2 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, it might have been a little less, but time flies, so.
A little bit less. It's hard
to say. I feel like the last few years have all just been a blur, so.
Oh, I imagine for you all, it has really been something, because you guys... At that time, you know, we're getting into doing multi-units and just all kinds of really neat things. And I remember, so how old are you guys right now?
So I'm 25.
I'm 22.
And then you and Kerwin are twins.
Correct.
So you guys are 22, 25. Yeah, 22. Because I was thinking you were like 19 or 20, but it doesn't matter. And I was just like, oh my gosh, these young guys, they're working so hard. They're building this real estate empire. They're going to take care of their mom. Like, who doesn't want to raise kids like that?
Yeah, we're blessed to have the mom that we have. And I think she's instilled a lot of things in us. So we try to pay her back for all the things she's done. And I feel like it's just it's kind of a duty that we have.
It is. Well, you know, I take care of my mom and my dad. And, you know, my parents, I'm lucky for me, I'm almost 65 and I still have both my parents, which at my age, I don't have a lot of friends that still have their parents. And so it is definitely an honor to be able to do that. But it's so nice to see young men starting off being like that instead of worried about like women and sex and drugs and partying and all the crazy. They're like, hey, we're going to build an empire. We're going to take care of our family. Like that is more rare than it used to be.
Mm. Yeah. I would say obviously there's a lot of things that you're tempted by, especially when you're young, but we came into our faith pretty recently, and that actually played a major role in keeping us, I think, closer to what's good.
Y'all got saved?
Yes.
Yes.
I did not know that. Congratulations. Oh, me too.
Thank you.
Yeah. I have. For me, it's been like forever. So you guys just recently kind of got back into the faith?
It was about a year ago.
Yeah, about a year ago. I mean, we've always, you know, believed in God and... our mother, you know, growing up, she wasn't necessarily like the most religious, but obviously always told us to pray and, you know, just kind of showed us about God. But yeah, we more recently got more into our faith for sure.
Mm.
Well, you know, the book of Proverbs tells you exactly how to run a business.
It does.
It's so interesting. I tell people all the time, it's like, if you want to learn how to run a business, read Proverbs. You don't need to read a bunch of business books. Read Proverbs. Tell you everything you need to know about how to run a business, how to treat people, how to be a boss, how to treat everybody. It'll tell you everything you need to know.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of the principles that the business books and the self-help books that we read, a lot of that information is, in other words, in the Bible in some way. And the Bible is obviously older than all of those books. So,
yeah,
it's interesting.
Well, you know, I don't know if you know this. If you don't, I'm going to tell you. And if not, you'll find out as you read along. But the number one topic in the Bible is finances. It's talked about more than anything else is finances. So I feel like, well, God thought it was important enough to talk about throughout the Bible, more than be kind, more than believe in, more than all that. Money is the number one topic in the Bible. So I feel like if God feels it's that important, then we need to learn what he wants us to do with it and what we're supposed to do and what good we're supposed to do with it and what's expected of us once we are tithing and doing things and, you know, using the talents, you know, the parable of the talents. Once you're using the talents, God expects ROI. So,
yeah, that's very true.
So he expects you guys to do a lot. Okay, so just real quick, for people to find you, it's donnasinvestmentgroup.com and then all over social media, Donna's Brothers. So just bring us up to date. Like, I'm going to ask you some questions, but for people that have never heard of you, never saw you before, tell everybody what you do.
Yeah, so my two brothers and I, we each have our own roles within what we do. And over the last few years, we started investing in real estate. Primarily at first was single family, and then we transitioned into multifamily. And since I'd say the last 12 to 14 months, we've now been doing a mixture of multifamily and single family. So Kat, I can tell you more about what we're doing currently on the single family side.
Right. So you know, we like my brother said, dove into multifamily. Things kind of started slowing down due to interest rates, and we, you know, we're very flexible with things. So we kind of went back into the single family space. And as of late, we've been flipping houses and trying to, you know, pretty much buy, renovate, and then sell for a profit houses recently.
Yeah, I've been watching all your houses that you guys are fixing up, and y'all are really good. I mean, they're beautiful when they're done. And you buy the kind of houses I buy, like the little, you know, 3-bed, 2-baths, you know, in like the neighborhood. That's the same kind of stuff that I still do. But, you know, after all these decades of real estate investing, I still kind of like single family. I feel like regardless of what's happening in like politics or the economy or whether we're in a recession or not in a recession, single family always seems to just be a solid, something you can just count on.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, of course, more people can afford single family homes on average in America than obviously the multifamily complexes that we're buying. So I think it is a lot more sort of something that people can relate to, the average person. And we're still taking the same approach that we did with our multifamily business in regards to bringing on investors and approaching it with the same mindset of being able to bring other people along with us. And we think we can obviously grow at a quicker pace and build it into something that is truly not just beneficial to us, if we can bring other people into the deal. So it's interesting to see that there are a lot of overlaps we might have overlooked than that we didn't necessarily see at first.
Right.
Yeah. So you have purchased a multi-unit.
Yes. So we've done a few transactions within our, you know, partnered up on a few different multifamily apartments within the Southeast primarily.
Okay. So how many doors do you have at this point?
Yeah, we've done 5 projects on the general partnership side, and each of those properties are anywhere from 100 to 300 units. So with 5, it puts us, I mean, obviously the number of doors can be a little misleading, but.
I know, it is. People always, oh, how many doors do you have? It's like, I don't know, I own 20 buildings, and some of them have doors, and some of them the walls are open. I don't really, I can't even tell you how many doors I have.
Yeah, right. For sure. But I think a little over 1,000 units at this point that we're in partnership on. And
that's nice, though.
Those are different.
So tell me, because you all are young. So, you know, when I started, I mean, I was 30, but I also started 30 years ago, and there were very few women that were like investing and at RIA groups. There were hardly any female speakers. Like it was really the boys club. But then you all come along and then you were super young. So what have you found has been like one of your biggest challenges to kind of break through for people to take you serious? Because, you know, you are young, but if anyone just spends a minute talking to you, it's like you've definitely done your work, your due diligence, you've got your plan, you got God on your side, like you got it all. You got your mom, you know. But what would you say has been something difficult because of your age?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess speaking specifically on the multifamily side, a lot of these properties, especially the larger ones, are bought by larger companies. And so when we've attended events, specifically like NMHC, there's a lot like really, really big companies there, right? Like REITs or companies that are just doing billions of dollars in purchases a year. And so when they see me personally, you know, when they see me, they probably don't think anything of me until, like you said, they actually have a conversation with me. So I would say, like, on the multifamily side, that's probably the most, that was probably the most difficult thing for us. Just since we're so young, we probably come off as not really knowing anything. But on the single family side of things, like my brother said, it's actually, I think it's easier for people to wrap their head around the fact that, although, yes, we are young, we are hustlers. So it's easier for them to wrap their heads around them being able to understand, oh, yeah, you could actually do this at probably a young age.
Kenneth was the acquisitions, and he still does the acquisitions for multifamily for us. So from his perspective, that's who he was engaging and interacting with. It was brokers and mainly people that are obviously a little bit older than he was, and he still is.
It's but the I think old for me, white boys club. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if that sounds racist or not. That's what it is. It's the old white boys club, and they all know more than everybody.
Well, you heard it here first. Yeah. and for me, I would say, since I'm mainly talking to investors and the different institutional investors, so that's retail and institutional groups, I didn't necessarily, because I'm speaking with a lot of these people over phone calls and Zoom calls. If they don't see my face, which they do over Zoom, but if it's a phone call, usually I don't feel like they treat me any differently. Eventually they find out through our social media content, and then obviously you can see who we are, that we're pretty young. But I think a lot of the things that we did to build our brand and how we were intentional about building a solid team around us has helped us overcome those challenges. So I truly think that there wasn't as many challenges as you might think. And I'm sure if there were still challenges that I probably was oblivious to, I simply didn't necessarily, and this might have been because I was a bit naive, but I wasn't aware of it. So it didn't really inhibit me in ways that I was ever conscious of. And I think that's something that as I get older, I start to realize that, oh, wow, I mean, I still can see how that could inhibit me and people could like treat me differently. But I think there's a lot of things you can do that are within your control. And obviously our age isn't one of them. But if you
I agree. I don't think age makes any difference. I mean, my kids used to go door knocking when they were teenagers. I mean, my son was 11 going with the girls, and you know, people thought he was a kid, but I'm telling you, by the time he was like 14, 15 years old, if you talk to him, people are like, how old is he? He sounds like he's like, and he talks like he's a 50-year-old man. Like he's got so much knowledge. And you know, now my son's 31, but shoot, he's got a bunch of rentals and married. He's got 4 kids now. So I think since I talked to you guys, I've had 2 more grandbabies. And and when people talk to him, they're always like, catchers. And he looks real young. And he's tall, he's 6'5", he's like real GQ, very young looking. But people are like, dang, he sounds like he's been investing since like the moment he was born. I was like, dude, our kids have been door knocking, making phone calls, doing lead follow-up since they were 10, 11, 12. I mean, I even had Ayla when she was like 9, taking her with me, going door knocking, having to fill out envelopes and mail. Because, you know, we didn't have all the automated stuff like y'all have. And my kids have been doing it forever. And I think that, so my son used to always like, yeah, people are, when he started on his own, like the girls got older, got out of school, and you know, there he was. He's like, no one's going to take me serious. I'm too young. I said, honey, you just stand with authority. And once you speak, they'll listen. And now he runs the RIA group in Denver. So.
Yeah. And,
I, and, And I think another thing that you said that I love is when you're really, and not when you're young, but when you're new, like when I was new, I was really naive. So a lot of things I didn't know would be an obstacle. And since I never knew it, I never thought about it. I never thought about it, never worried about it. Like I didn't realize until I was in it that like being a woman was a big thing. It's like, what the hell's wrong with you guys? How's that a big deal? Like I'm as smart as anybody else. And so sometimes being, I always tell people, I think being naive was one of my biggest assets. Because if I heard all the things that can go wrong and all the things I shouldn't do and all the things that people say, I don't know if I would have had the guts to do it by myself.
Yeah. And one thing that I've become aware of recently, it's since we don't come from a high sort of like we come from a low income background.
Yeah.
And we approach this business with a level of, I would say, humility that may be more difficult for people if they had a previous success in their past careers, which comes with experience and time. And usually when you're older, that's something that you have. But we were coming into it pretty fresh. So when we approached it, we were very curious and we understood that we obviously hadn't done much yet. So we had that sense of humility. And I think, and in the Bible, there's principles in different books that talk about it, where it's harder for the person that has wealth to get into heaven. And for us, we're not saying like, we're not comparing the two, but I think there's definitely some parallels there where
it is. It's harder. What does it say? Yeah. It's harder for a rich man to get into heaven than for a camel to get through the eye of the needle. You know, the eye of the needle is the gate.
Exactly. Right. And when you approach it with the way that we were like approaching it, we were just so curious, asking questions. And I think it's important that we keep that and everyone keeps that, because then when you're talking to these people who may have a lot more experience, that I think that's attractive to them to want to help you. And at least I think it's better than the opposite, which is arrogance. And that's obviously not, I don't think that's a good thing. So.
Well, nobody likes anybody arrogant, no matter how old you are.
Yeah.
100%. You know, I mean, seriously, I meet people now and sometimes, I've done this and they're real arrogant about it. I'm just like, honey, I'm not even going to brag or try to like go tit for tat right here. But what you're saying, I'm so far past you. But you don't need to know that because you know, it's not a pissing match. And I feel like as an older person, after I was investing for just a few years, 5 or 6 years, I already wanted to start helping other people do it. Because I was like, I was fired from Denny's. I was broke. I was a single mom. My husband took off. I had no money, no car. I had no college, no nothing. And I'm like, well, if I could do that, other people can do it. So I wanted to start helping people and teach people right out of the gate because of all the stuff I'd been through. I thought there's no reason for people to go through all that. And just, you know, like, so let me just share. So I've always wanted to help people. So I meet people that are new or especially young. My first thought is like, oh, what can I do? What can I do to help? Because especially young, you stay with it. Oh man, just think of the empire that you'll build.
Yeah. That's very true. And we've been blessed to be able to meet a lot of awesome people like you and people that are just willing to help. And it's surprising. It's not something you're necessarily expecting, but you get into these kinds of rooms and it's surprising how many people are actually happy to help.
Yeah. And also you just never know who you'll meet, and just being open, or just like my brother said, just having humility when you go to an event or you're out, primarily events really, but just being open to just trying to speak with people, learn what they know, ask questions. Like that is so okay. You know, people actually want to give, they enjoy that. Like it kind of feeds them in a way, usually.
They get it all the time. I went to a really big podcast event a couple months ago. Now, if I go to a big real estate event, usually the person that's teaching or the people that are speaking, like people know who I am. So I went to this podcast event and there were like 1,200 people and nobody knew me. Mm. Nobody knew who I was. But I didn't know who most of the other people were either. And I thought, wow, this must be what it feels like to be a new investor in a giant room and nobody knows you or cares or really wants to take the time because everyone's trying to meet or make some kind of connection. And unless they feel like you can specifically help them. So I had a lot of people that were like, oh, yeah, we'll loop back. And I was like, in my mind, I feel like saying, hey, do you not know who I am? But then the other side's like, no, don't say that out loud, man. God's still got a whole bunch of them lightning bolts up there. You do not want one to hit you.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was so weird to be on the other side of the fence for 4 days. I went to every class, I went to everything. I made a little group of friends and we started hanging around together. But it was just so weird. Like nobody recognized me at all. Not a single person.
Yeah.
Which I mean, they have no reason to, you know, everyone's got podcasts and you think like, I watch real estate shows, so I should know all the real estate podcasts, but there's like 2 or 3 million shows out there nowadays.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot.
But it was really fun and I learned so much. I went 4 days. I had classes like every hour and a half. I went to every class, everything, every day. And I was like, gosh, this is how people feel at the end of a 3 or 4 day workshop. I was exhausted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Networking can be very exhausting and learning as well. Just trying to cram all that information in.
Yeah. We always come back very, very tired from those trips. I mean, you stay up late because you're networking and then you wake up early. Yeah. We like to wake up a little earlier, so it's just like we don't get much sleep, and you're always on go throughout the day.
A lot of coffee.
Yeah,
a lot of coffee.
I know. After it was, and it was down here in Denver at the Gaylord, the big fancy Gaylord Hotel. But the problem with that hotel is everything's so big. I feel like I walked 5,000 miles. And the rooms are here. The conference center is here. Yeah. All that evening stuff was way out there outside. It was like, oh my god, I need like a golf cart to get
inside the hotel.
I came back with bags. You know how they give you like the bags? I had bags of stuff. It honestly probably took me a month to go through every single thing. And I took a lot of cards for people I wanted to connect with later. And I had to Google some of them because, you know, you can't remember every single solitary thing.
Yeah.
But I ended up working with probably 15 different people that I met from there, just through different phases of what I needed in my business and in my podcast side and things like that. So I was like, and that was the best trip ever. Like so many great connections.
Yeah. Was that best ever?
It was Pod Movement. And no, it was great. And they're doing another one. I think they're doing another one this actual weekend. And they do 2 a year. And I'm like, I'm going to start going to those because I don't go to a lot of events anymore because I speak at a lot of events on the real estate side. And it was really good to be in the audience because you get so much fresh ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a little bit. Well, we went to like a mastermind event recently, but we haven't been to an event in, it seems like a little bit longer than it had been in the past. So definitely should make it back out to one. You're inspiring us to make it back out.
Well, they're fun. Well, if you find a really good one, let me know and I'll go there too. And we can all like, you know, hang out and spend some time actually in person. So
for sure.
Now, so you guys are doing a little bit of everything. You're doing some single family, you're doing some multi units. Are you keeping rentals? Are you interested in like Airbnbs? Or are you just sort of focused like these are the niches that you're focused on?
Yeah. So, and my brothers and I, we've had this conversation. So as I mentioned, you know, the multifamily space has really slowed down due to interest rates. And so the transaction volume has significantly decreased within the last 18 months. And we believe that there's going to be a huge opportunity to potentially buy. So right now, obviously, you know, if we find a deal where we could potentially buy, fix up, and then rent, that's an option. But our goal is really to generate as much cash, which is why we're fixing and flipping, so that we can then take that cash and go out and buy multifamily or just larger apartments or buildings, I guess, if we ever want to get into that. But primarily multifamily, just because we do believe that there's going to be a really, really big opportunity in buying here in the next 18 months or so.
I think so, too. I feel like that, too. I feel like, you know, this is a presidential election year. And during the year of elections, I mean, at this point, I've been through so many election cycles. And I always notice that during election cycles, you know, rates will go up or down and everyone's fighting, you know, for the Republican, the Democrat, and everyone's making all these millions of promises. And what happens is a lot of people get into, well, I'm going to wait till the election and see before they buy or they move forward or they lend more money or things like that. So I have found from my personal self during election years, I always do really good because I don't want to wait and see. I don't care who the president is. That's going to make no difference in my business. I mean, I do care who the president is. Let me rephrase. I 100% care who the president is, but it's not going to affect me either way. So you'll find, and you're right in January. So I think you'll find that you'll see a lot of people with kind of like the, We'll wait and see, Ken. You just keep plugging forward and you'll get so much further ahead in the next 12 months than a lot of people, because people do go into a wait and see mode.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know? When you said more and more people will go into the market, it makes me think that with more competition, prices will, they don't have to go up, but doesn't it make more sense for prices to go up? So, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it seems like it would only get more competitive and then prices would go up, which would make it a harder time to buy. So maybe now is the best time to buy if that's what you're, if you're going with that.
Yeah,
kind of
it's kind of like that. It's like the prices might go up, interest rates might go up. I mean, who the heck knows if, you know,
yeah.
If Kamala Harris becomes the president, like the whole economy could crash. I don't know. But I know that. So sorry for all my liberal friends, but you can't tell me I'm not lying. So it's like, so a lot of people that have a lot of money, they're like, well, I'm just going to wait. I don't want to invest. The stock market may crash. This could happen. That could happen. But then other people are like, I don't care. I'm just going to keep rolling with it. I think you'll find a lot more foreclosures this year.
Yeah.
And I think prices will be okay. And interest rates are kind of coming down a little bit.
Yeah.
And those are things that happen like in an election cycle. But you, but on the other side, when you're looking to do some big deals and you need millions of dollars, you'll find people like, well, you know, we're just kind of wait and see what happens because they don't know. So people kind of get like in a wait and see mode. But I don't know. I find it's always a really good time to do a lot of rehabbing and fixing and flipping and stuff in election cycles, because on the, some of the bigger things, not everybody wants to let go of the purse strings so easy.
Right.
For sure. And we're, that's what we're really just doing what we can to stay busy. And one thing that we really enjoy doing, and where we saw the opportunity on the single family side, was we had these investors that wanted to place capital, but there wasn't the, we didn't see their, that opportunity for us to go and actually satisfy that need in the multifamily space, because deal flow is down for us in our markets in the criteria that we were looking for. So in single family, there's a lot more deal volume. We already had that skill set and we can deliver some, we are delivering some pretty solid returns to our investors. So that really satisfies that need and also allows us to move forward, I think, in the right direction, regardless of what's going on in the space that we were in.
Now, so Kenneth, are you guys physically rehabbing?
Like physically doing the work ourselves?
Yeah.
No, but we hire out contractors, and for the most part, just contractors per deal. So we'll have someone.
I've always loved rehabbing.
You enjoy it?
Okay, I do enjoy it. You know, for our content.
I loved it. I did it for a decade solid. I loved it.
Yeah, for content purposes, I'll go in and just get some content on demo. And I do enjoy that when I get to swing the, you know, the sledgehammer.
Oh, yeah.
But it would just take me way too long to do the project itself if it was just me or just us. Since we're doing several at one time, you know, we can conquer a lot more at once. Although I do enjoy it, and it's fun to learn how things are being put together within the construction side of things, but doing it myself, I'm not.
I did even. I mean, I had crews at one point. I had a couple crews, so like I'd be, me and my partner might be working on this one house, and we'd have a couple other houses going and have crews. But I always really liked it. And I remember when I met Bill the first time I met, because you know we're coming up on 20 years of marriage now. So this is like I'm 40 something when I first met Bill, and I remember the first time he came to my house. And he walked into my garage. And I mean, I have like tools, like every tool that they have that you would need. I have all the tools. I have all my walls arranged with tools everywhere. And he's like, well, who do these belong to? I was like, they're mine. He's like, you know how to use all these tools. I was like, dude, I rehab all the time. I know how to. And I always say, you know, I think he fell in love with my tools.
Yeah.
He likes like toys and stuff. And he was so stunned. I had so many things. I'm like, and I know how to use them all. And still to this day, if like a little something around here, a sink or something, I'm just like, just let me fix it.
It's a really good skill set to have for sure.
That's awesome. And you know, the thing is, as technology gets more and more and more, younger people don't know how to fix things.
Right.
Like they literally don't know how to fix anything. It's like, but how do you not know how to change a tire? Like, how do you not know that? I knew how to change a tire since I was like 10. You know, like, how do you it's like change out a faucet. Like, how do you not know how to do that? How can you not put a toilet in? So having the skill set is gonna, people are gonna get paid a lot more than they used to, because all the young kids just only know technology. They don't know how to fix anything.
Yeah,
it is true. And I think we have like things like YouTube, so you don't necessarily need to, you just have to be able to move forward, even if you don't really know how to do it, and be resourceful. Because obviously you guys, maybe back then, like, we didn't have, you guys didn't have access to certain things. But I agree. I think it's important to know. And it is something that I personally have to improve on, because usually I'll just, like, I don't actually go to the houses all the time. So to be honest, I've been trying to be more intentional with learning things like how to be more handy. But we have a lot of work to do.
Women like handy men. So exactly. I'm just telling you, from a woman's point of view, even younger girls that are all about, they like techie, whatever. Deep down, all women want a man that can like fix something or build her something or change her tire. Or women deep down, they want that little bit of chivalry. They want that guy opening that door for them. And no matter what all these feminists say, deep down, all women.
We agree. We agree 100%. That's why we're talking.
I hate the feminist movement. It's like, why do you all want women to be equal? I like kicking back. Like, I don't want to go work a man's job. Like, what's wrong with you girls? Shut up.
Right. I love it.
What happened to like old-fashioned women? Like, the women get, you know, offended if you open their door. It's like, seriously? My little four-year-old grandson opens doors for women. Like, what happened to them? So stay chivalrous. Women like that. Deep down at the end of the day, I don't care how feminist someone says they are, everybody still wants a man, and everybody still wants a man that can fix and do things for them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't lose. When you'll in the Bible more, so you'll learn more about, like, women still want a man. And like for a guy, you want a wife that is, you know, women are more precious than rubies. Like in Proverbs, it talks about having a Proverbs wife. You want a Proverbs wife. My wife will take care of the house and the kids and you know, be the spirit of the household. Like, you want those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
100%. We're very much in alignment with that thought.
Right.
More than you might know.
I feel, and my son is like, listen, you're going to get married. You're going to have kids. You're going to, since he was like 10 years old, you're going to open doors. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. You're going to call people ma'am. You're going to call people sir. And you're going to have manners. And now he's grown, he's got kids, and people are always like, oh, your son, he's just, and your daughter's like, they're so great, they're so well-spoken, and they're this, they're that. And it's like, yeah, that's what they've been beating on since they were teenagers, to grow up and, like, be respectful.
Yeah. Yeah, you see that nowadays. A lot of kids are, you know, I wouldn't say a lot of them, but, you know, it's rare to find a kid that has, you know, manners. And our mom was the same way. You know, she raised us to always say yes, ma'am, yes, sir, you know, thank you, be respectful. It's just the thing that, you know, nowadays, I guess kids just get away with a lot. And so they kind of.
Not my kids.
They grow up differently for sure.
Not my kids and not my grandkids. And when I'm around other kids, I'm like, excuse me, what did you say?
Right.
Can you repeat that and say yes, ma'am, at the end of that sentence? Like, if they get in my vicinity, they're going to get smacked upside the head for not having good manners. Good manners never go out of style.
Never.
They don't. All right. So what do you guys, so like now, what's your biggest goal that you have right now? And how can we at Dwonderful help you reach that goal?
Yeah. So one thing that our company will accomplish this year is 2 to 4 deals a month. So if you have any wholesalers in the audience or agents that get deal flow in North Carolina, we would love to get in touch. And also with doing those deals, as we mentioned before, we do bring on investors. So anyone that's looking to either learn more about the market or get into a deal like that in one way or the other, we'd love to connect. And I think that's how your community can help. But that's kind of what the goal is to do 2 to 4 deals every month this year.
Wholesale deals or rehabs or
rehabs. That's what, when I say that, I refer to the single family fix and flip company.
2 to 4 deals a month, and also you'll accept people to invest with you.
Correct.
All right, that's good. I like that. Because, you know, even, I mean, people like me have been doing it forever. Like, I still have goals, and I still have things I want to do. And I think people think after you've been doing it a long time, it's like, oh, yeah, she's done everything. You know, what could she possibly want? But I still have goals and things I want to do. So my goal this year, one of my goals this year, is everyone that I interview and everyone that I talk to, I want to help find out what their goal is and how can I help people reach their goals.
I love it. How can we help you reach your goals?
Well, let's see. I want to finish my town. I want to finish my town this year. Because, you know, we bought all those 20 buildings. And then, you know, Bill had to have that stem cell transplant. And then I had to have a new hip this year. And so for like 2.5 or 3 years, our entire giant project has been on hold. And I'm like, all I want to do is finish my town. That's all I want.
You gotta send us before and after pictures.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yes. Well, you guys come to Clinton, Iowa, and visit sometime and stay for a couple of days, and I'll take you around and show you how to buy all these crazy buildings. And finish my town, because then I don't know what I want to do after that. Right now, that's my sole focus is getting that town done, getting all the buildings out, rented, you know, everything running and operating the way it's supposed to be. And with Bill being sick and with my hip this year, we got put on hold for 2 years. But, you know, the nice thing about that, I guess, is that we've been investing for so long and we know so many different things. It's not like having to put such a giant project on hold for 2 years, like bankrupted us. Like a lot of people would have a giant project, something happens, they can't work on it or finish it, and boom, they're out of business. Right. So it's always good to have lots of backups.
Yeah. Oh, that's an awesome goal, and it's really cool that you're doing that. I've actually never met anyone that was building a town. The only person I know is Tyler Perry. Doesn't he have like that?
He has that a town? Studio, but that's not nearly as cool.
He has a town. He has like a community, doesn't he?
Yeah, he bought. I don't know if he bought, but I know he built like a big studio and just a bunch, like hundreds of thousands of feet. So we bought a bunch of old buildings in this little town called Clinton, Iowa. And they were just old buildings that were like boarded up. They've been sitting there for decades. No one's done anything with them. So we were going to buy a building. And then we were like, well, we'll buy another one. And then my husband's like, oh, let's get another one. And then like this lady called and said, hey, I heard you're buying buildings. I've got three. My husband's been dead for a decade. Will you take my buildings? And then another lady says, hey, I've got two buildings. Will you take my buildings? And I was like, oh, my God, for the love of God, Bill, stop buying buildings. So we ended up
that's crazy.
No, tell them buy more.
I know.
So
I was like,
is it all on the same block?
I'm sorry. So the downtown is three blocks. It's on the river. So it's three blocks this way and three blocks that way. So it's just that little bit. And we own 20 buildings in that little space.
Wow. So you own a whole downtown.
Well, not all of it. But we own enough to have the controlling vote. Because that's a downtown. Cool. Because it's in the city of Clinton. But it's in the downtown, which has its own taxes that go into a fund to do things and fix things and to do events and do things like that. So the downtown has its own fund. And then so we all have to vote. So all the building owners that own buildings vote on things like festivals, Oktoberfest, music, you know, all the things that little towns do, they vote. And after, I don't know, a year or so of getting voted out on a bunch of stuff, I said, let's just buy some more buildings so we can control the vote.
Majority vote.
So are you going to name the town after yourself?
I should. Dwonderful Land. But it's really fun, you know, because like they're doing a thing this summer called Tailgate and Tall Boys, and it's a big 4-day country music festival. And like big people, like Jelly Roll was there and like Tim McGraw, like big people were there last year and they signed a 3-year contract for stuff like that. So the town is like doing some nice bigger things. Yeah. And since we started buying buildings till now, the property values have gone up 50%.
Wow.
I'm just like, oh yeah. Now we just need to finish more buildings. So
what are you guys planning on like starting up again on like, I guess, renovations, or are you waiting on permits, or
No, we have some guys doing renovation. Bill, my husband, really, really, truly loves to work on things and he likes to build. And like, that's his happy place. If you put him in an old 1920s, dusty old musty building, he's just like, it's like a pig wallowing in the mud. He's so happy. So he cannot go back in and be around all of that until the summer.
Okay, gotcha.
Because of the stem cell transplant, and when you're in old buildings and you're cutting wood, there's a lot of mold spores and things that are in the wood that you breathe in. Because any plywood, and I did not know this, but any plywood or any wood or anything you buy that's actual real wood that came from a tree, some animal has pooped or peed or done something, or and then it's in there. And then when you sawdust is flying around, it's got mold spores from animal pee and animal poop and dead food. And you breathe it, and like you and I would just not worry, but for Bill, it can make him super sick.
Okay.
Because it's something that your body has to learn to fight off again. So he kind of has like baby immune system.
Gotcha.
So we have people working inside. We're redoing one building. We opened up a whole floor and we're putting in a bunch of lofts. So we just ripped the entire floor open. And we have some people doing the roofs, but like really back, we'll be back this summer.
Okay. Gotcha. Awesome. Yeah. That would be awesome to see, honestly. I mean, I don't know how far.
We wish you all the best of luck. That sounds very exciting. So
yeah.
It's so much fun. It is really exciting. On Instagram. It is exciting. And I told Bill when we bought the first building like 4 years ago, and we had a 5-year plan. Well, then 3 years got knocked out with the health issues. So it's like, dang it. So, all right. So now we got 3 more years. And I said, we'll be done by the time we're 70. So I don't know what we'll do after that. Maybe we'll do another town because it's super fun. But I remember one night we were sitting around having dinner and I said, do we know anyone that just sits around over dinner and says, what are we going to do with our entire town that we bought? Like, who just buys a town?
or let's buy another town.
Yeah. I'm like, let's get another. Let's buy a town where I came from. Let's do another one. So I don't know. So it's really fun because it's super different. And they're older buildings. And so there's a lot of things to redo. They have, you know, asbestos and they have a lot of stuff. But we're trying to restore them back to like their natural beauty. And I'm telling you, these buildings were so beautiful.
Yeah.
They were just so beautiful. I'm sorry?
They brick buildings, I'm assuming?
Yes. Most of them are brick and they've got like some kind of ugly facade on them. We're like, no, we're tearing all that stuff back, making them back to the way they were because they were really beautiful. And the craftsmanship was so nice back in the day compared to like the craftsmanship today. People just slap up some walls and call it a day.
Yeah. Yeah. They built better quality buildings back then for sure.
They did. It's a good learning experience. There's a lot of stuff we didn't know. Like, you know, like you guys, there's a lot of stuff we didn't know. We didn't realize about permits. We didn't realize about we have to vote. And, you know, we're used to just like, this is what we're doing and here's what we're going to do. And then we're going to sell it. And da, 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 and, you know, so we're not used to like having to play with others in an entire community, especially because we are more forward thinking than most of the people. And so sometimes I'm like, oh my God, what is wrong with these people? So I'm like, you know what? We'll just buy some more buildings.
Then you have no say.
So when in doubt, buy the controlling vote. That's my tip.
When in
take
doubt,
that forward with you in your life. When it comes to the very end of the day, you're like, hey, I'm doing this massive project. Control the vote.
That's great advice.
Yeah, that's really good.
It is. I mean, it took me 60 years to figure out, like, hey, we're not all equal partners. Everyone has an individual vote, and not everybody thinks like we do. And, you know, we're big thinkers, and we got held back by so many little things. It's like, what is wrong with everybody else? Don't they want this town to grow? Like, what is wrong? So we're like, we'll fix that.
Yeah. So,
when you get going and you're the one with the money and you're doing a big giant project, control the vote. And then you'll never have to worry. You'll love all your projects.
100%. And keep us updated on Instagram.
Yeah.
You'll start seeing a lot of videos this summer. I'll start posting a lot of videos. So for somebody that's younger, like you guys, and they're like, hey, I want to get involved in real estate investing. What's something you would tell them to do?
Yeah. So I guess investing wise, wholesaling is a good option. It is a hustle. So if you have like no money, I would say wholesaling is a good option to potentially just get your feet wet and make a little bit of money. But if you have a little bit of money, I would potentially just jump into flipping houses just because getting a hard money loan is not incredibly difficult. It's not very difficult at all, honestly. As long as you have some form of money, they typically lend based on the asset or the house that you're flipping. So I would say that that's probably the best. And maybe even getting your license and selling real estate first so you understand how numbers are run. Agents make a really good amount of money as well. So I would say those are probably the three best options I could think of.
I've won.
So Jeffrey, for you, what's your favorite in all the real estate investing that you've done so far, what's your favorite like aspect of investing? What do you personally enjoy the most?
So I've been competitive my whole life, and I don't say that from an egotistical perspective. I just have learned that's something I enjoy. So when I can go and put that energy towards something that I find productive, and obviously I'll set up a goal, and when I hit that goal, that gives me a really good sense of fulfillment. And I think that's God given. He gives me those desires that I've had since I was little. So one of my biggest things that I enjoy is I'll set a goal, and when I hit it, it makes me feel good. So for example, when I lock up a deal, which I did, let's say last night, that was awesome. I worked really hard for the one I got last night. I underwrote maybe like 100 deals over the last 3 weeks. I've been hunting deals down, and I really was starting to feel like I was being tested, and I was being tested, and I just kept praying about it and kept pushing forward and leaned on God in those nights and times that I was really discouraged. So I'd say that's probably my favorite part is for me hunting down deals. And then after that, there's a lot of challenges that obviously come before. And then once you block it up, you have to go and raise the money. So that's in its own challenge. But to answer your first question about what I think people can do when they're new, I think if I could go back and let's say I had no experience, I would find someone in my local area or online who I look up to, who is doing what I want to do or something that, you know, they're doing really well and I can look up to them. And for that reason, I would try to go and work for them. And obviously you might make some money, you might not, but if you can go and sort of, even if it's fix and flipping, you could partner up with someone else, which will mitigate the risk of doing the deal by yourself, increase the chances of it going well, and you can probably make money while doing it. So it's pretty much you're getting paid to learn. So anything that you're going to do in real estate, I recommend partnering with someone that has more experience, or because in that way you're even getting a mentor and you're going to make money.
So, I agree. A mentor is great because they help you cut your learning curve.
100%.
And so then, Kenneth, what is your like favorite aspect of what you've learned so far? What's your favorite thing? Like, I love you're a deal hunter. My husband's like a deal hunter. I tell him he's a deal hunter. He's like loves that part. So what is yours?
Yeah, so I really love the construction side of things. So as of late, I've been doing all the project management. So once we close on a deal, we're pretty much, you know, I'm overseeing the contractors, making sure that they're doing the work on budget, on time. And then for the most part, on these higher end ARVs or higher end deals, I'm the one coming up with the design and kind of the layout of the house and how things will look in the bathroom and the kitchen. And, you know, people don't really think about that stuff, but it's very important because you're tailoring it to, you have a customer at the end of the day and you have to make sure that it's a product that people will like and flows well and looks good. So I've enjoyed that. I think I've always enjoyed construction. I've always, you know, growing up, I've always helped my mom with different things. So I think it was just, I don't know, naturally, maybe not naturally, but it's just something I've always enjoyed just growing up. So I've learned a lot about construction since starting. You know, I mean, I've, you know, been learning this whole time, but recently since we've been doing more flips, you get to see it day to day and week to week and how things are put up and how structures work and what things are supposed to look like and what they're not supposed to look like.
Yeah.
So, It's been a really, really good time.
See, it's nice. You each have like your own niche and everyone always has like their favorite thing. So it's nice that each of you have like something that's different. So you're not both doing the same thing, because the best kind of partnership is where you like this thing and they like that thing and the other likes this thing. And then I think that makes for a really well-rounded partnership. So, and I love both. I love deals. I think at this point I'm more like, I like the design side, like, you know, laying out the rooms and doing things, because we're taking these buildings that we have and like tearing them back to the walls. So you'd be surprised. Like sometimes you don't realize how creative you are.
Yes. 100%. You really tap into that creative mind.
Yeah. 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 I love that. I love that for all three of you guys. I really appreciate you guys coming back on. So before we go today, well, first of all, everyone, I know that you enjoyed listening to the Donis Brothers. Who doesn't love these guys? Like, seriously, who doesn't love these guys? And just follow them at DonisInvestmentGroup.com and all across their social media. I'm at Dwanderful. I took Dwan and Wonderful and I made a new word, Dwanderful. and opt in at dwanderful.com, and I'll give you some free ebooks, and I've got some free training, and I've got all kinds of really just cool stuff for you. So do that. And then the last thing I want to ask each of you, and I'll start, Kenneth, with you. I want you to give us a parting word of wisdom, but just actually a single word, like a parting word of wisdom. See, now Jeffrey's going, oh, wait, what's my word going to be?
Yeah, my word would be persistence.
Okay, persistence. I have to write these down. Do and I have then, to
explain the word? Or
no, just the word.
No, just okay. Persistence. Jeffrey, what's your word? Faith. And you can't use the same word.
Yeah, faith.
Oh, faith. Okay, now, so what we do at Dwanderful is, I have all the my guests give us a word of wisdom, and then that becomes the word of the week. So because we have two of you, we have two words of the week, which is persistence and faith. So Kenneth, what does the word persistence mean to you? Like when you hear the word persistence, what does that mean to you?
So it just means, you know, day to day, things can get tough and you just keep going, or something doesn't go your way, but you just keep going. I was reading this was a little while ago, but Stephen Schwartzman, I think the Pursuit of Excellence is what it's called. He said, and this might not be verbatim, but he said, if you just continue looking for the solution to the obstacle, you will always find a solution. So it literally does not matter what problem you're facing, and whether that's in life, in business, in your deal, in a relationship, if you just look for the solution and never give up on looking for the solution, you will always find a solution.
And that's, I love that. That's why I always like to ask people what that word means to them, because everyone has a different idea of what persistence is. So that is the word of the week, folks. And that is a description. So then, Jeffrey, what does faith mean to you? When you say faith or think of it, what does that mean?
Yeah, it is a profound word. And there's a lot of different meanings that it has for me, but I'd say that one way that I sort of interpret it is I lean into something that I perceive as infinite. And I, whenever I'm having a problem, and like Kenneth said, if I need to persist through something, I just understand that I'm not alone. And I believe that God is walking with me in it. And I try to tap into that by having that relationship and growing in that relationship. So as I do that, it is my business and it's everything else outside of my business. So if when I truly believe that, let's say I have a problem, like Kenneth said, and I am trying to find my way through it and to obviously come on the other side, that's the good side. I do that with God because I have faith that he wants the best for me and I'm going to go that direction. So it might not seem like a business principle, but I think it's a principle that you should take into everything you do. And obviously it'll help you in your business if you can have faith.
It is a business principle. And you know, the thing is, both of your principles, like yours being persistence and going and figuring things out and all that, and then what you say about faith, trusting God to help you do that, it really comes down to the same thing. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you have to stay persistent and you need God to help you. Like, it's the perfect mm-hmm. business model. And faith is, I know some people are like, oh, you know, I don't need faith in your business. You do. The whole Bible tells you how to run a business. So you just do things God's way. And you will be greatly blessed. You guys are already greatly blessed. But imagine in 5 years and 10 years and 15 years. And imagine when you're my age, you're like, damn, man, remember back when we did those first couple of deals? Look at us now. And that's when you have to stay humble.
Yes.
That's when it's easy to go, look at all my stuff. Because God can take it away as fast as he can give it to you.
100%.
And I have learned that lesson so many times over. Getting a little too big for my britches. And God's like, oh, really? Okay, well, I'll just fix that for you. And then there I am. It's like, oh. So stay humble. Like, really, stay humble. I appreciate having you guys on today. It was fun to talk to you. Tell Carmen that we said hi. And mm-hmm. I just always look forward to what you're doing. I always recommend you to people to be on their podcasts. And I just appreciate you're young and you're really working so hard. And you've got your faith and your family, and those really, at the end of the day, those are the foundations. Those are the things that make life worth it, you know?
Yeah, we appreciate you having us on again. We really do enjoy talking to you and wish we could do it more.
Well, we
will do it. So just FYI, so do we have any wives, girlfriends, anything going on, single? All right, girls, look at these two, how cute they are. single. Just putting it out there. Gonna help you out. Just gonna help you out.
We appreciate it.
Yes.
All right, everybody. Thank you for being on the podcast today. I know you loved it, so make sure you subscribe. Go to my YouTube channel, Dwonderful Real Estate, and like and subscribe and hit the bell so you can see the new videos. And for everyone that would like to watch this podcast, it's on my YouTube channel. And you can watch and see just how adorable these guys are. And, of course, how wonderful I am. And, you know, we're all fun to watch. So watch us, listen, subscribe, share. And if you've got some money to invest, I would wholeheartedly tell you to have some faith in these guys, because I've watched their journey and they are the real deal. So, all right, you guys, seriously, thank you. I just love you two so much, all three of you. And I love all your videos, and I'm going to just keep sharing and preaching about the Donner's Brothers. And you guys just keep doing what you do, is you're total rock stars.
Thank you, Dawn. Likewise. You. Keep crushing. We'll have a town, hopefully, God willing, soon as well.
We can, yeah, like, share. Come visit my town. I'll give you some ideas and you get your own town. You can get a town next to my town.
Good idea, yeah.
And then we can just like connect them and have a big giant town. The wonderful Donna's town. All right, everybody. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. And remember that the truth is in the red letters. Okay, ciao. Bye, everybody. Bye, you guys. Bye. Thank you, everybody. Wow, wow, wow. How much fun did you just have? You listened to the most wonderful real estate podcast ever. Hey, do me a favor. If you love just one thing about the show, if you laugh, if you learn something, leave a 5-star review. Subscribe and share it with a friend. Don't forget, next week, same bat time, same bat channel.